This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2201. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. First and foremost, shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 27th, Antarctica, Australia, Botswana, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Cuba, Guatemala, Indonesia, Japan, Korea North, Kyrgyzstan, Peru, Romania, Singapore, Spain, Sudan, Sweden, Thailand, Turkey, USA, unidentified, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer, LRA 36, Antarctica, again heard on Saturday, July 22nd. I tune in at 18:03, and I was hearing it past 20:06 UT, but not heard by 21:30, all via remote in Argentina. 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. Upon Asilo Mar, State Beach, California, Ron Howard says, Dave Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, the operator of Shortwave Australia, is very friendly, often provides an interesting reply, vk3ase@yahoo.com. He says, I currently hear his carrier on 4835, but fairly rare to make out actual music played. He describes it as relaxing electronic, which is rather nondescriptive. Also, Dave provides a very interesting YouTube video about the station. Tim Gaynor, operator of another Australian shortwave, Unique Radio, says, It is heard at my location in northern inland Moree, New South Wales, quite well, on both frequencies. It's also regular into Western Australia and remote, as is my own station on 5035 and 3210. Herman Content in Belgium and Zach Youngis in Greece both encountered something very out of order from the VOA Botswana relay on 15580, July 21st, around 1615 UT. The modulation was cutting off very rapidly, about 4 or 5 times a second. Happy birthday to Ian McFarland, who had a birthday last week. But there's also sad news from Canada forwarded by Sheldon Harvey. Wojtek Piazda of the RCI Action Committee circulated a Facebook message. That is, with a very heavy heart, I inform you that RCI's former program director, Alan Familiant, died Friday, July 21st at the age of 85. He was RCI's longest-serving program director, a gentle, smart man who was seen as Mr. RCI, respected around the world by other international broadcasters. He was vocal in protecting RCI and crucial in allowing RCI employees to lobby to save it in 1991, 95, and 96. When CBC Brass descended on RCI in 1997, he was forced to retire. In the last 2.5 years, he was a crucial confidant and supporter. As I, Wojtek, worked to protect RCI, I will miss him terribly. We also got a link to a live stream of the funeral, which was Friday afternoon, July 24th at 18 UT, in which we saw and heard Wojtek Piazda further pay a tribute to Alan Familiant. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports on the Chilean pirate Radio Compañía Worldwide, this time on 7610. July 19th at midnight 42 to midnight 50 in Spanish with sports talk about football. A fair signal but deteriorating. China thinks it owns the South China Sea, so it now has a broadcast called Voice of the South China Sea. The current schedule from the WRTH update via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener shows several languages. Via a number of sites inside continental China, 09 to 10 UT on 11895 in Chinese, 12 to 1230 in Filipino, 11955 and 17510, 12 to 13 in Vietnamese, 11640 and 11720, 1230 to 1330 Malay, 11955 and 13795, and 1330 to 1430 Indonesian, 9535 and 11955. China also rules Tibet and has this schedule for English hours from China-Tibet Broadcasting via the same sources, 07 to 08 daily except Tuesdays, and 16 to 17 daily on 4905, 4920, 6025, 6110, 6130, and 6200. Now, the first broadcast is on two more frequencies, 9490 and 9580, while the second one has two different frequencies, 7255 and 7385. The Chaikom refer to this as Holy Tibet. I'd been hearing a barely audible carrier most nights just below 5910, presumably Al Caravan Radio in Colombia. But July 27th at 0641, it was much stronger, up to S8 or S9 with tropical music measured on 5909.952. Manuel Mendez in Spain was also reporting it again that date, July 27th at 0450 to 526. He thought it had been off for about 10 days. And Ron Howard says, I heard a decent little carrier at 0742 and 0910, but no audio. Normally, I always had good audio from Al Caravan Radio. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Most nights, but not every night, after 06 UT, we hear an extended, unscheduled broadcast. It could be in English or in Spanish on the 25-meter band. Sometimes 11670, other times 11760. 26 de Julio. It was time for my annual tribute to the revolution, with my modified parody motto, Patria o suerte pensaremos, or Patria o suerte huiremos, which means fatherland or fortune, we'll think about it or we'll escape. Once again, I invite identifiable photographic evidence of either slogan being scrawled upon any public service in Cuba. Furthermore, after a break of several days, the Cuban spy numbers returned. David Crawford in Florida says on July 24th, the HM01 spook reawakened at 21 Zulu. On 11635 per UDXF. He says, I first heard it at 2215 on 10715, the usual format and quality. It was not there yet at 16 or 17 UT earlier that day. Also reported July 24th by Rick Barton in Arizona, who keeps careful track of the spy transmissions. 11635 at 2115, tune in. A mix of digital data and voice mode by a women voice. 5-figure number groups in Spanish. He says the first time heard in weeks. He noted none of the old issues with these transmissions. Today, strong modulation, steady signal, no hummer whine. It cut off at 21:57, but moved to 10:715, resuming. Also good signal and audio. Open carrier at 22:50 and off at 22:52. The Roman Catholic Church is being pressured to sanctify the Blessed Stanley Rother, shortwave station manager who was martyred in Guatemala. A big thing on the way is an expensive shrine, also known as a tourist attraction, which is now opened in Oklahoma City. Many of us heard his station years ago before he was assassinated, La Voz de Atitlan, on 2390 kilohertz. Actually, he's being honored for much more than just running the radio station. I'd be surprised if it's even mentioned in the shrine. But he and it were featured recently on the travelogue show Discover Oklahoma, the July 22nd edition, which you may find on the website via www.discoveroklahomatv.com. More reports of one of the last remaining Indonesian shortwave stations, and certainly the only one on the 41-meter band, RRI Nabire, 7289.93. Ron Howard in California reports it, July 23rd from 0820. To cut off 1 hour later at 0920. The signal was steadily improving as they headed toward sunset. Ron also reports it July 27th from 0807 until it went off exactly 1 hour later at 0907. Times vary considerably. They play some Western music, but mixed in with Islamic calls to prayer. And also heard by Lucio Otavio Bolbovic in Brazil with an extremely weak signal, July 16th at 0933 to 958. Much better the next day, July 17th through 0930, still blocked by China at 1000. And furthermore, also reported by Rob Wagner in Australia, July 23rd at 0755, with laid-back pop songs, announcements at 08, more music, pop artists, 859 Islamic prayers, 910 more music, and suddenly off in mid-song at 0920. It was weak at first, but rose to fair level by 0900. Ron Howard in California reports on Korea's north and south. 6015, July 25th at 1110. there was white noise super jamming against KBS Hanminjok Bangsong 1 in South Korea. It had been heard fairly well with just light jamming, but today totally blocked with the new super jamming. Bad news, also super jamming on 5920 against Voice of Freedom. And frequency changes as of July 27th by Shokaze, or Sea Breeze, originating in Japan, about North Korean abductions. All info from Hiroshi's website in Japan. They do change about once a month. The previous one was on June 7th, so it was sort of a surprise that the next one was on July 27th. Anyhow, the 13 to 14 UT broadcast, including English only on Wednesdays, 5920 and 6090. Repeated at 16 to 17 on 5935 and 6165. Note that 5920 is the same as the Voice of Freedom, already hit by that super jamming. In the British DX Club, Tony Rogers says, I've been following the Kyrgyz transmitter on 5130, especially since Ike Birbert commented about it being on the air Monday through Friday only during the first half of each month, days 1 through 15. That was the case in March, April, May, and June, but for July, the broadcast had continued past the 15th. We're still heard from Monday 17th through Friday the 21st, and still on Saturday the 22nd. First at sign on 1455 appears to be in Kazakh. Sign-off varies between 1730 and 1800. Monitoring via remote in Novokuznetsk, Russia. Another Peruvian appears to be active on shortwave. Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia reported on the Cadena de X FB group via Lucio Octavio Bobrovic about La Voz de la Selva, 4824.6, tentative. I've been tuning in between 23 and approximately 01 UT, a signal corresponding to that station in Iquitos. Audio very low, I've not been able to confirm it's the station, comparing to its online signal. Despite acceptable strength, audio seems to be inside a box under the earth, like Radio Pio 12 Bolivia 5952.4. It says my colleague Cesar Perez Dioses in Chimbote, Peru, says he is hearing La Voz de la Selva irregularly, according to another colleague in the city of Iquitos. It was last reported in May of 2017, identifying as FM 93.9, LVS Digital. May I recommend Radio Romania International, one of the last international broadcasters still broadcasting English to North America on shortwave. There's an hour at 22 UT on 11800, which puts an excellent signal into the Dutch remote and probably into Eastern North America. I was listening to it on July 26th. At that hour, 22 UT, we have a choice of that, or English from Spain, maybe on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or maybe from Egypt, except for the horrible modulation on 9440. Or Turkey, if it's on the air, on 11785. Anyhow, I concentrated on Romania that date. The modulation was also very good, as well as the signal. On this date, July 26th, they were talking about, among other things, the heat wave, heat alerts in July, up to 42 degrees in the shade, high winds up to 90 kph, and rain measured in liters per square meter. I wonder what would be the conversion factor to our inches of rain. About the BBC Far Eastern Relay in Singapore, closed down as of July 16th. More about this from Keith Barone on Disgraced FB via Simon Hicks in the British DX Club. He'd been in contact with Tom Lum soon at the station, who said antennas, cables, and transmitters are being sold to the highest bid scrap dealer. Everything must be cleared away within the next 8 to 10 months. Plans are to include housing, shopping mall, R&D technology center, and extension of the Kranji golf course. The Singapore Air Force is also going to build an air traffic control tower, doubling as a runway on Lim Chu Kang Road. A Taiwan chipmaker is going to lease one zone in Kranji for 1.6 gigadollars Singapore, or around 950 megapounds for a 20-year lease. It's smaller than the BBC complex. Do you think the BBC could ever afford to pay close to a gigapound for rent? Construction to redevelop the site is scheduled to start around the middle of next year. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio, 2201. Many thanks this week for generous financial support from William T. Hassig in Mount Prospect, Illinois, who sent a check to Glenn Hauser. P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. He said, congrats on 2,200 World of Radios. English broadcasts from Spain really dropped the ball following the important July 23rd election on Sunday. I listened to two of the following half-hour English broadcasts. There are only three of them per week, on Monday, July 24th, and Wednesday, July 26th, on 17855, among others. And there wasn't even any news, let alone about the election. They were replaying some programs from last October. Without apology, only explanation being that it's summertime. I wonder if they'll ever tell us how that election turned out. Radio Omdurman, Sudan, has not been reported for quite a while on 7205. Arthur Peterson's Domestic Broadcasting Survey of April said it had last been heard in February. Dr. Hans Scherbiner had heard it in January of 2022. But now, someone visiting Tanzania in June of this year heard it on 7205 with a surprisingly strong signal, so keep checking. That's a report from Sebastian Arndt in Dr. Biener's DX Digest column. Filed under Sweden None from El Radio Escucha via AER in Spain, Radio Igloo will be on the air again on Sunday, the 6th of August. It and the Malmö Shortwave Club are producing a program with more information about the Swedish pirate Radio Sid, S-Y-D, and the pirate queen Britt Wadner. Also with music from the early 60s and radio clips of Radio Sid, will be on 5950 starting at midnight hours, presumably UT, and that frequency means it would be via WRMI. In the NASA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Australia reports a frequency change for Radio Thailand. The broadcast from 12 to 14 UT on 9385 since July 21st, replacing 9940, finally avoiding interference from India and Nippon Nokazi. Seems to be a good choice. He says a solid signal and very strong via online receivers in Southeast Asia. The 12 to 14 hour includes English during the first and last half hours, that is 1200 and 1330 in between. There are quarter hours of Vietnamese, Mandarin, Japanese, and Malay. Voice of Turkey's English broadcast at 22 UT on 11785 was missing again on July 26th. However, on July 24th, they compensated by staying on the air an extra hour in German, starting at 23. Now about the Shortwave Modernization Coalition and an FCC petition. On HCDX, Bill Smith in Douglas, Massachusetts says, according to SMC, the following 2 to 25 megahertz frequency segments are in the Part 90 industrial business pool, that is, the frequencies where this would be allowed. I won't go through all of them, but I observe they do not include ham and international shortwave broadcast bands, but they do include the extensions of the broadcast bands, and they do not avoid the tropical bands, which in the U.S. are considered fixed. Bill says SMC stations have been testing on 4.9, 10.2, 14.9, 19.9, and 24.8 megahertz for several years using experimental call signs. WI2XNX, WI2XER, WI2XAJ, WL2XYM, and WM2XTS. And Bill quotes coexistence page 19 that co-channel interference could occur at some times, but is sufficiently limited to enable preventing of harmful, in italics, interference, provided licensees are granted multiple 2 to 25 megahertz band frequencies, and licensees use frequency agile techniques. Footnote 50 defines harmful interference as that which endangers a radio navigation service or other safety services or seriously degrades, obstructs, or repeatedly interrupts a radio service operated in accordance with ITU regulations. So they are warranting is no harmful interference if they get what they need. Bill Smith replies, many financial service companies have a history of operations of first getting the necessary licenses and then pushing the envelope. Any lawyer could drive a truck through the holes in these subjective definitions of harmful interference. Among other things, very few shortwave broadcasts are now beamed to North America. Would these people consider themselves free to interfere with our reception of broadcasts intended for other parts of the world that listeners in North America consider great DX? Just asking. And Ben Cobb says this, comments filed at FCC on the shortwave modernization petition, number 643 as of July 21st, most are from hams opposed to the new stations. The petition claims its members have not received complaints of interference from their experimental trading operations on shortwave for several years. Of course, identifying these would be one hurdle to filing any complaint. One station making such a claim is WI2XER on Long Island. No complaints, but it's not required to ID at all. This waiver of the ID requirements is on its license. It's authorized 21 emission modes on 12 bands at an ERP of 146 kilowatts. Maybe they did transmit ID, but I did not find such info in their public records, some of which are severely redacted with black markings. The petition does not propose any ID requirements on the new HF stations. And he says, I later found blog entries that display a Morse ID from this station, WI2XER. I remain concerned that FCC may not impose a rigorous ID requirement on the shortwave modernization stations. Don Mumman, VE6JY, says they have interfered with many of our Canadian version of Mars CFARS nets, and I've never heard or seen any kind of ID. I have seen them come and go and no clues as to how one would ever complain. And that's by design, I'm sure. And Bob Marston, AA6XE, tells me this on July 26th. Thanks for the heads up on the FCC initiative to license HF comm systems for derivative traders, submitted by the Shortwave Modernization Coalition, SMC. Comments have been flowing in fast and furious since the matter came to light a couple of weeks ago. With 72 hours remaining in the comment period, over 700 people have let their thoughts be known to the FCC. I estimate more than 500 of those are from irate hams that have made no secret of the fact they view the potential interference from such a service as a mortal threat. There is a sizable number of comments pointing out numerous deficiencies in SMC's proposal. On Monday, July 24th, SkyWave Communications petitioned FCC for a 30-day extension to file comments. They asked for the extended period to end on the close of business Tuesday, September 5th, the first day after the Labor Day holiday. On Wednesday, July 26th, Flex Radio also filed a petition with the FCC, echoing the same request made by SkyWave. No word on the matter has been heard from the FCC as of July 26th. Dan Robinson forwards a press release from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, July 24th. Chairman Michael McCaul issued a statement about a significant milestone in his 2-year investigation into corruption at the U.S. Agency for Global Media. The committee's unwavering commitment to pursuing truth and accountability has uncovered alarming evidence of misconduct and negligence at the senior-most levels of the agency. He says, my 2-year-long investigation into corruption has taken a major step forward. Agency has confirmed high-ranking officials were aware of questions that remained unresolved even after an internal investigation of employee misconduct. Rather than pursuing the matter further, officials shelved credible allegations, including instances of waste of taxpayer funds, credentialing fraud, and abuse of office, and offered not so much as a slap on the wrist for relevant actors. We need to know why. I will keep working until the agency stops rewarding misconduct, improves its vetting practices, and tells the American people the truth. Harold Sellers, who keeps track of English language broadcasts, says, some international broadcasters have been dropped from the WRMI schedule. Some relays of English programming, such as Radio Slovakia International, reduced to a single English half hour at 01:30, Tuesday to Saturday on 5800. But the program heard on July 21st was recorded at the end of January. Gone are English RSI programs at midnight 30 on 5850, 15770, and at 22 on 5850. Both used to be daily. Radio Poland is also gone, no longer heard at 22:30, Monday to Thursday, on 5850 and 15770. But relays of Argentina, Czech Republic, and Indonesia continue to be heard. It's July 22nd. I've been hearing weak signals from WBCQ just above 5130 when I tune late at night after 0600, such as July 22nd at 5130.396. And there was a recognizable WBCQ jingle ID. By the way, strangely enough, there's another non-pirate out-of-band broadcaster closer to 5130, Kyrgyzstan, as we mentioned earlier. I hope it's unlikely to be confused with WBCQ. Before 07 on July 23rd, 5130.496. Bill Tilford in Indiana says, I'm not involved with it, but I've been advised they are testing a lower-powered transmitter on 5130. And then Larry Will says, according to Timtron, it's a BC610i putting out about 300 watts. And Bill Tilford replies again, I have been told it's testing 24/7. Maybe this will prove to be a boon for the hardcore DX crowd, at least during daylight hours when it's truly a difficult catch. In the DX world, perhaps less truly is more. So I tried for it direct at an earlier hour, midnight 25 UT, July 24th, and did detect a JBA carrier on about 5130.45. Also heard on July 26th, but for the first time, July 27th, 6:49, it was not being heard. 9275, July 25th at 1724, I heard some nice harmonica music. It sure beats DEJOM complaining about rival Jawakos. 1728, WMLK ID, and back to DJOM when he was just EJOM. This was only S3 to S7. Sure didn't seem like 300 kilowatts. Via Dennis Gibson, ABDX, a Radio World story of July 27th by L. Karras. On July 27th, the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation officially passed the AM for Every Vehicle Act onto the Senate floor. The executive session was broadcast live, facilitated by Chair Senator Maria Cantwell of Democrat of Washington, and Ranking Republican Senator Ted Cruz supports the measure. NAB President and CEO Curtis LeGeit issued a statement. NAB applauds the Senate Commerce Committee passage of the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. This will ensure that the tens of millions of AM radio listeners across the country retain access to local news, diverse community programming, and emergency info, and enables AM radio's continued role as the backbone of the nation's emergency alert system. This act would direct the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to issue a rule requiring automakers to maintain AM broadcast radio in their vehicles without a separate or additional payment, fee, or surcharge. It says AM should be clearly visible on the vehicle's dashboard. And via Mike Terry, another story about this from Inside Radio. The bill now goes on to the full Senate for consideration, but this will not happen until they return from their month-long August recess. The House version of the bill also remains pending, with similar strong bipartisan support, including 70 Republican co-sponsors, with 68 Democrats also backing it. An intriguing NID on 4040 from Jack Winder in Pennsylvania, NASFA flash sheet. Before and after 01 UT, July 22nd, but not heard on the 23rd. Sounded like Spanish, but there was lots of noise. It was heard previously on July 12th. So I guess it could be a pirate, or the fourth harmonic of something on 1010, or maybe a receiver image from 4940. The propagation outlook from SWPC, July 24th. Magnetic field expected to be active July 27th. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4. Lesser peaks of 10 and 3 on August 3rd and 10th. Otherwise, mostly 8 and 3 or 5 and 2. Solar flux rising from 155 July 27th to 30th to a peak of 180 August 7th to 10th. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2201, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.